Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're getting into something really interesting. Real-world assets in Web3.
That's right.
Forget the super complex crypto stuff for a second. Think more about, you know, the tangible things, your house, gold, maybe even company shares.
Yeah, how those are starting to show up digitally.
Right.
On the blockchain.
Exactly. So we've looked at some material explaining this whole RWA thing.
Right. And essentially, we're talking about assets from the traditional economy, physical things, but also intangible ones.
Like real estate, stocks, commodities, intellectual property, too.
Yep. All that represented digitally, secured on chain. And it's more than just like a neat trick. It could be a pretty big shift merging old finance with this new Web3 infrastructure.
Okay. So RWAs. Real-world assets. It's not abstract digital fluff. It's actual stuff from the economy, just in a new format. What specific examples did our sources mention?
Well, the main ones that kept coming up were things like property, you know, real estate.
Okay.
Also precious metals, gold being the classic example. Fine art popped up a few times.
Right.
And even traditional things like bonds. Stuff with real-world value.
And the key process making this happen is tokenization.
That's the one. Tokenization. That's really the core mechanism here.
All right. Break that down for us. How do you actually do that? Take a, say, a gold bar in a vault or owning part of a company and make it live on a blockchain.
So tokenization, think of it as taking the rights to that asset and encoding them into a digital token, like creating a digital key or certificate that says you own this.
Okay. A digital proof of ownership.
Exactly. Now, these tokens aren't all created equal. Our sources point out the difference between fungible tokens.
Fungible, meaning one is the same as another.
Precisely. Often using the ERC-20 standard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect for assets where each unit is identical, like gold or bonds. One token represents the same amount of gold as any other token.
Got it. Like 1 gram of gold is interchangeable with another gram. Makes sense for standardized stuff. But what about unique things? Like you mentioned art. A specific painting isn't interchangeable.
Exactly. And that's where non-fungible tokens come in. NFTs.
Ah, NFTs.
Right. They're designed specifically for unique assets. A particular piece of art, maybe a specific plot of land. Each NFT is distinct, carries specific info about that asset, its history, who owns it.
Okay, so you tokenize it, fungible or non-fungible, depending on the asset, and boom, it's on the blockchain. The sources talked about some big advantages here. What stands out?
Yeah, several big ones. First, global trading. Suddenly, geography isn't such a barrier.
Right. Someone in Tokyo could buy a piece of property in London, potentially.
Potentially, yeah, without all the usual hurdles and middlemen. And second, maybe even more impactful for, you know, regular people. Fractional ownership.
Yes. The sources mentioned owning just a percentage of a building. That feels like a game changer.
It really could be. It breaks down these huge assets into smaller chunks. Suddenly, investing in things like commercial real estate or maybe expensive art isn't just for the super wealthy.
It makes it more accessible, democratizes it, kind of.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
Lowering the barrier to entry. And then there's the whole 24/7 market aspect.
Unlike the stock market closing at 4 p.m.
Exactly. Blockchains don't sleep. These assets can potentially be traded anytime, anywhere. Plus, you get that transparency from the blockchain ledger. All transactions are recorded publicly, immutably.
Which reduces the need for some of the traditional intermediaries,
yeah.
Potentially cutting costs.
That's the hope. More efficiency, lower fees.
So it's really about making these established assets more accessible, easier to trade. Why is this merge, this convergence, considered so important for finance overall?
Well, if you zoom out, it's connecting two worlds that were pretty separate until recently. Traditional finance, TradFi, and decentralized finance, DeFi.
Right.
Our sources gave examples like using tokenized real estate as collateral for a loan settled by a smart contract.
Instead of going through a traditional bank loan process.
Potentially, yeah. Or using tokenized gold as collateral within a DeFi lending pool. It's blurring the lines.
That does sound like a much more connected financial system down the line. And what about liquidity? The sources mentioned assets like fine art or farmland are often hard to sell quickly. How does tokenization help there?
It comes back to that fractionalization point.
Okay.
If you have a, say, multi-million dollar painting, finding one buyer is tough.
Mm.
But if you tokenize it into 1,000 pieces...
Suddenly there are potentially 1,000 buyers who can afford a piece.
Exactly. It dramatically increases the pool of potential buyers and sellers, making the asset more liquid. You can sell off a fraction if you need cash without having to sell the whole thing.
That makes a lot of sense. And for people already in crypto, this gives them a way to diversify, right? To get exposure to non-crypto assets, but stay within that Web3 ecosystem.
Precisely. It broadens their investment options significantly. Plus, our sources talk about the potential for just new kinds of financial innovation.
On what?
Well, maybe more accessible loans backed by real-world things.
Mm-hmm.
Or complex algorithmic trading strategies that can now incorporate these tokenized real-world assets. Even making fundraising more efficient for businesses.
The sources had some concrete examples happening now, didn't they? To show this isn't just theory.
Yeah, definitely. There are already platforms out there tokenizing real estate, letting people buy fractions of properties.
Yeah.
We see tokens like PAXZOLD, PAXG, where each token is backed by actual physical gold held in vaults.
Well, it's directly linked.
Directly linked, yeah. And there are efforts to create regulatory compliant tokens backed by traditional stocks and bonds, bringing those onto the blockchain too.
And the art market example.
Yep, digital marketplaces selling fractional ownership of high-value art and collectibles using NFTs. It's happening.
Sounds like incredible potential. But the material was also pretty clear about the roadblocks. It's not all smooth sailing yet. What are the main challenges?
Yeah, definitely hurdles. The sources really highlighted three key areas. First, and maybe the biggest, is regulation.
Always the big one with new financial tech.
Always. Financial laws weren't written with tokenized assets in mind. So there's a real need for, you know, clear rules. How are these tokens treated legally? How does it work across different countries? It's still evolving.
Makes sense. You can't just digitize a house and ignore centuries of property law.
Exactly right. The second big challenge is custody and trust.
How do you know the token actually represents the real thing?
That's the question. How do you guarantee that link between the digital token on the chain and the physical asset sitting somewhere? This usually involves trusted third parties, custodians.
Like the vaults holding the gold for PXG.
Right. And you need audits, transparency, ways to make sure that connection is real and stays real.
Yeah.
Building that trust is crucial.
Okay. Regulation, trust, and custody. What was the third challenge?
Scalability. The tech itself.
Can the blockchains handle it if this really takes off?
That's the concern. Tokenizing a few art pieces is one thing, but what about tokenizing, say, entire real estate markets or huge volumes of government bonds? The underlying blockchain infrastructure needs to be able to handle that kind of volume efficiently without getting clogged up or becoming too expensive.
So potential is massive, but we need the rules to catch up. We need reliable ways to ensure the link to the real world, and the tech needs to be ready for prime time at scale.
That sums it up pretty well. The sources frame RWAs as this really important bridge connecting traditional finance, the established system, with this decentralized future that Web3 represents.
A bridge to more open, more accessible, more efficient markets, potentially.
That's the promise.
Yeah.
But yeah, as you said, it's a bridge still under construction.
Requires a lot of ongoing work, building trust, getting the legal side sorted, and making sure the tech keeps improving.
Absolutely. You know, what's really interesting to think about, though, is what happens if this really works? If everyday assets, not just big fancy ones, but maybe, you know, anything become not just digital, but programmable and globally accessible.
That opens up some wild possibilities.
It seriously does. And that leads to the final thought for you, the listener. If we look beyond just real estate and gold, how might this ability to tokenize and program almost any asset reshape ownership, reshape investment? What completely new financial ideas or structures might emerge that we haven't even conceived of yet?